Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the VIP Ignite podcast. I'm your host, Janine White. Today I am so excited to have Tessa Colvin on the show. She is someone who is a coach. She teaches people how to write books, and she does so much more. So I'm so excited for her to be on here and for her to share her story with you. Hi, Tessa. How are you today?
Hi. How are you? I'm super excited to be here.
I'm super excited to have you, and I know my introduction didn't do you justice. So would you mind starting by telling my audience a little bit about yourself?
Not a problem. So I am Tessa Colvin. I am a publishing consultant and TV show host. And essentially my superpower is helping people write powerful books quickly, position them for global impact and six figures or multiple six figure profits. And when I say quickly, I mean 4 hours to weeks. It depends, but generally about 4 to 6 hours, people are pouring out those books that they have dreamed of. That's my superpower.
Well, I mean, I've been thinking about our conversation, like, since we talked last week, and, like, every time I think about it, I'm like, I can't believe that this is something that's possible, because, like I told you in our pre-interview, I was an English major, and one of my biggest dreams is to write a book. So, and when I think of writing, I think of, like, Melville, like, just pouring his heart out and, like, sitting there and, like, like, it's pouring every ounce of his soul, and it seems like it took forever for him to write his novels. Because I did my senior capstone on Moby Dick. So can you explain to me how you could possibly pour out your heart and soul in like 4 hours and create a novel? And I'm sure you can't give me all of the tricks, but like it's been blowing my mind since I spoke to you.
So essentially, one of the things that I do with my clients off the top is just kill the myth. Kill the myth that it's not perfect when it pours out of you, because it is. It's your vision. All of the other stuff, being spelling and grammar, you know, tenses, all of that stuff, that's editing. That's not what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be telling this story. And this is from a nonfiction or even a fiction perspective. Tell the story the way that you see it in your head and go from there. It pours out of you perfect. All of the other stuff, that's just extra. Those are bells and whistles. That's whipped cream on top. And so when you kill that myth and give yourself permission to just tell the story however it came to you without trying to write another story in your head about how people are going to perceive it, what the readers are going to think if there's a semicolon versus a comma and all of that, then it makes it very easy to just get the words out of your head.
Okay. That's awesome. So, I mean, even when I sit down and I write copy, I'm like, oh, no, hold on. Did I do it right? Like, even, like, the smallest thing.
Right.
So I would love to be able to just pour out the thoughts in my head onto a piece of paper with that lack of self-consciousness. So you told me a story that you wrote a book on a flight. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
So I want to say maybe 6 or 8 weeks ago I was traveling. I spend a lot of time in California and Georgia just, you know, serving my clients, connecting with different people, and filming my TV show. And so I am someone who likes to make sure that what I'm teaching still works. That may sound like, what do you mean, what you're teaching? I don't want to be telling people, like, you know, you can do this quickly and something has changed. I don't know whether it's software, whether it's the availability of information or whatever. I want to make sure that what I'm teaching is still relevant. And so I had this flight. It was going to take about six and a half hours to get from California back home to Alabama where I am. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to write a book on the plane. And so I did. And I detailed it on social media because, of course, that's where we live our lives now, on social media.
Yeah.
And I took everyone through the process. So, like, when I got to the airport in California, I went and grabbed some Starbucks, of course, because, you know, that's fuel for anything. And I sat down and I had a little journal and I'm like journaling out my outline. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't like I labored over it for days and hours. I didn't do any like pre-work to set it all up. Like I wanted to show everybody you can do this, you know. And I outlined like, what, 13 chapters or something like that, 10 or 13 chapters. And then when I got on the plane, I went to work. I went to work, and the way that I teach people to outline is what I've coined a conversational outline. And so it helps me keep the reader in mind so that we're having a conversation, because that's one of the principles of what I teach, is a book is a conversation. A book can start a conversation. This is very important because a lot of times as writers, you hear the term you've written yourself into a corner because you feel like you're talking to yourself. That's one of the struggles that people face. Is that, you know, not having that other side of the conversation. But the way that I teach people to outline, you have that other side of the conversation. So it's a banter. It's easier to get the words out. So I went to work on the plane. And to be clear, I think for this particular flight, I didn't fly first class like I have before. So I want to say that so it's not like, oh, I'm sure you were in like a first class pod and that was easy. Like, no, you know, I was in the center seat one time, and then I was in a window seat. So, you know, it wasn't like some luxurious flight, and that's how I was able to do it. So, again, here I am feeling missed. Like, whatever you're telling yourself about it not being possible is possible. And so I focused on the outline. I only have this amount of time, get to work. And I started the conversation. I mapped out introductions. I mapped out summaries and things like that in my writing, and I was able to finish my book, even though I had to run through the airport to get to my second flight. I was able to finish that writing, and it was roughly, I don't know, 30 or 35,000 words, I think, or something like that, once I put everything together. And that's something I'm working on launching the end of the year.
That's fantastic. So just for the record, for you and for anyone listening, even if you are in a cushy, in a like a posh pod, it's still quite a feat to write a book on a flight running through the airport. So even though you were in coach like I would be flying, I still think that's pretty flipping phenomenal, just for the record. So
thank
that's
you.
Awesome.
And
so,
hopefully it's encouraging.
Oh my gosh, I'm actually sitting here taking notes. I very rarely take notes when I do podcasts, but I'm like, okay, conversational outline, start a conversation. Like I'm sitting here taking notes too, so I'm loving what you're saying. So how did you discover this superpower? Did you just like sit down one day and write a book? You're like, oh, I could teach people how to do this. Like, how did you discover your superpower?
So I've been writing since I was 8 years old, and I want to clarify, it wasn't all good writing. It wasn't all like, you know, she's a genius. No, it was not like that. But I have been writing since I was 8 years old. And what I learned early on was my voice. That is so important because so often when we sit down to write, we want to write in someone else's voice. So like you talked about, you know, you going to school and your studies and things like that. In your head, you know, you may have this author that it's like, you know, for somebody it might be Terry McMillan. Or Toni Morrison, or it could be any number of people. And it's like, that's the voice that I should write in. That's not your voice. That's where your struggle comes in. You can't maintain that because it's not you.
Yeah.
And so I've been writing since I was 8. And I got to a point where I was like, I got to do something with this. So, you know, my progression was, you know, writing short stories, creating worlds, poetry, and then back to fiction. And some nonfiction. And through all of that, I was like, I'm going to publish the great American novel. I'm sure this sounds like somebody who's listening. And I did not.
It sounds like the person who's listening on the other end of this call. Not going to lie. That's
going
my goal.
To change the world, right? It's going to be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't do that. But what I did do was write a novel that changed my world. So I wrote a novel. I went through the traditional process of getting an agent and you know, working with a traditional publishing company who shall remain nameless. And I had an editor. I was assigned an editor to work with me to clean up this novel. And she was great at what she did. But she also worked for a company that had a vision for their bottom line. And so one of the things that she was assigned to do was kind of fashion my writing into the box of what was selling at the time.
Okay.
And so that was challenging. That was tough.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said words to me that I will never forget, but I will never live by. She said, "You're a tremendous writer. You tell amazing stories. But you'll never be published if you do not learn to write to formula." And at the time, the formula was vampires, werewolves, love triangles. That ain't my jam.
None of that was me.
Right? So, to be honest, I was dead in the water at that point. I had 2 years of writer's block after that. Because
I can imagine.
It knocked the wind out of me because I'm like, oh, okay, so this is it. It's a done deal. I'm not going to write about those things. Not because I have a problem with them, but those aren't the stories that I've been given, right? Those aren't the divine downloads that I get. And so one day I had to have a real conversation with myself, and it's okay to talk to yourself. We all do it.
I do it all day long.
I had to say to myself, you know, am I going to, pun intended, let her write my story, or am I going to write my own story? And so from that point on, I thank God for the internet, because I was able to dig into independent publishing, self-publishing, you know, learn that process, and I learned it hard, meaning I wrote and published 19 books in 6 years, learning the process of self-publishing successfully.
Oh my God.
Because it's very easy to go out and press publish somewhere. It's easy. But after that and before that, all of that stuff, I didn't know. And so that's how that ultimately I got here. And this is why it's my superpower. I learned on the job how to do this. I crashed and burned so everyone else doesn't have to.
Wow.
And
it's been
amazing. The things that I've learned, the simple things like that you can have a title that will kill your book. Nobody ever told me that. I didn't know. You know, I'm a creative, so I'm like coming up with these deep titles, and people are like, I don't know what that is, so I'm not going to even click on it because I don't think it applies to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the kind of stuff I get to teach my clients now and help them fast forward. How many times have you heard people say, I haven't written my book, but I've got the title for it. I've had it for 20 years. I tell people, throw it away. Because if you've had a title for 20 years and haven't had any desire to write the book, that's not it.
Yeah.
Right?
That's really sound advice.
It is, because you can't publish a title. you got to have the book to go with it, right? And so, again, this is how those superpowers were illuminated through this process. And then I am a proponent of profitably publishing. Just because you self-publish does not mean you have to have what I call a broke book, air quotes. My clients are making tremendous impact on people's lives because of how they position their book, how they're partnering with companies, how they have school systems that call them and want to buy their books in bulk.
Wow.
That's tremendous. That's tremendous, and it's not coming from buy my book post. So that's, you know, a summary of how I got to be, you know, at this point using these superpowers. I get to use my powers for good, you know, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love that you said that people are finding tremendous success, and it's not because they're begging people. They're not putting a post on social media, hey, I wrote a book, why don't you go buy it? Because, like, that's cute, but, like, how many, like, I have so many friends and family that are promoting so many different things, and it's like, like, I love you guys, but, like, if you're not willing to invest in your own dream on a big scale, like, why should I? And I don't know if that sounds mean or not, but it seems like, I love that you said that, because, so many people, like, I actually have a friend who published a couple books, and she actually went through a publishing house, and she found some success with it. But, like, I know a lot of people, I wrote a book, and it's like, Like, because I was an English major, I have some people who are like, oh, yeah, why don't you take a look at my book? And, like, I do, and some of them I'm like, maybe you want to stick to your day job, you know, because, like, there's just, and it's not because I'm me, it's not because, like, I read all levels of novels. Like, I read the trashiest novels, and then I'll read, like,
yeah,
the best out there and everything in between. But sometimes it's like people think that they have a gift too, and it's, but they have to like figure out how to tell the story. And I think what you said is that comes into editing, right? That's not necessarily the person's job. That's an editor's job.
No,
that's awesome.
No, and I'm gonna share this tip here because I know you'll love this. I'm an analogy girl, so here's the analogy I give my clients when they're trying to edit and write at the same time. You can't edit and write at the same time. It's impossible because that's like being in a car and putting it in reverse and drive at the same time. You're going to stay in the same place.
Ooh.
It's impossible.
That's really good.
It makes it make sense. You're trying to drive forward, meaning you're trying to put more words down. How can you do that if you write 500 words and take away 800?
That's true. I love that. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm taking notes. I'll have to come back and listen to this again so I can take better notes.
But it's those simple things. Like I said, it's the simple things that we don't think about that hold up the writing.
Mm-hmm.
I know people were like, you know, 4 hours, what kind of software are you using? Word? You know, like, it's not hard.
Yeah. Now, are you typing it out or are you doing voice to text?
A combination. Because some people actually do better typing. So for me, here's what I did. Here's the secret. So everybody lean in. When I wrote a book on a plane, what I did was I have this process where I break down chapters in 3 to 4 sections. So there's the introduction, of course. There's the actual, what I call the transitional text that goes at the end that'll kind of tell your reader what's coming up next, what to do next. But right before that is the call to action. And when for those people who are in business, you think call to action, you're selling something. No, that's not what I mean. I mean call your reader to action. Whether that, you know, we've covered a lot in this chapter. Take a few minutes and journal out, you know, XYZ. Or I actually did a live training on this. Here's a link. You can check that training out. Or, you know, keep reading because in chapter 3 or 4 or whatever, we're going to cover such and such. That's a conversation, right?
Yeah.
It's different than just throwing up on a lecture into a book. And so I would write those things out, introduction, call to action, ending transition or summary, you know, might make more sense since you're an English major, or a summary at the end, right? And then when it comes to the text where I'm telling my story or I am teaching something, I might go to my voice to text or I might go to my recorder and talk that out. Because when you're teaching someone a new concept, the worst thing you can do is talk over their head.
Yeah.
Get too technical. When you go to the doctor and you say, hey, my lower back hurts, my neck hurts, I got a headache, they come back with some long term and you're like, I don't know what that means, but okay, can you fix it? That's your reader. You're on the other side. You have survived some things. So you, for example, if your reader thinks they're overwhelmed, but you know for a fact they are clinically diagnosed as someone with anxiety disorder, but they don't know that, you're having two different conversations.
Yeah.
So you've got to get back to where they are and bring them up to where you are. And so the best way to make sure I translate that conversationally for me, because I know the type of writer I am, is to speak it. So I speak that part, transcribe it, and plug it in.
Okay. Yeah, that's how we do coaching too. That makes total sense. And the way you're describing like writing the book is the way I coach. Like I run the coaching program for VIP Ignite, and one of the things I do is like I meet people where they are, and I'm like, okay, I see this in you, but you don't yet see it in yourself. So it's almost like you have to give them a life preserver and buoy them up until they get to the point where you know they should be in their heads, even though like, you can already see it in them, and that's the conversation that you're having in your book.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's also doing it that way is also what positions your book to be very profitable.
Okay.
Because
can you explain that a little bit to me?
Go,
okay.
Oh, absolutely. Because you can go back through one of the first things before, like, I've given you the formula to write your book. I have. Like, I don't hold back. Mm-hmm. I'm not one of those people that's like, I'm going to give you 3 steps, and then the next 5 steps, you got, and that's not me. So
yeah.
Now you have the blueprint to write your book, but before you put pen to paper or fingers to keyboard or whatever your thing is, you've got to know who your book is for. Do not fall into the trap of, my book is for everyone. That's not true. If you're writing a book about how to tie your shoes, I'm not reading that. I got that already. So it's not for me, right?
Yeah.
When you do the work to figure out who your readers are, you figure out where your readers hang out, the kind of language that they use. You figure out the types of organizations that support those readers. And when I say organizations, it could be corporations, it could be nonprofits, it could be magazines, it could be a number of things. When you know your reader inside and out, and the trick is to remember this, they are some form, some earlier version of you.
Yeah.
These are the people. Go back to that moment when you wished you had the knowledge that you have today. That's who your reader is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you do that, a number of things happen. You now have a list of companies, corporations that could benefit from workshops that are led by you. They could benefit from partnering with you and sponsoring your book. They could partner with you to sponsor your book tour, your coaching, your podcast. All of these things just by knowing who your book is for. That's profit. That's more than peddling your book out of the trunk of your car. That's not what we are past that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Another example is when you know where your readers hang out, you can connect with them even before your book is written. You want to get you want people to get emotionally invested in your book before you ask them to financially invest. One of the worst things you can do is write your book in a secret and then spring it on everybody in the world on social media that you wrote a book. You didn't take them along for the ride. Why do you think book trailers are so effective? Not book trailers, movie trailers, but book trailers too.
Yeah.
I do those. But but movie trailers.
No, it makes sense.
Like, there's movies coming out in a month from now, and I'm already like, I'm going to see that.
Yeah.
Because I'm emotionally invested before I even get to the point where I got to stand in line and give them my money.
Yeah.
So your marketing plan, your marketing strategy happens before you write your book, and so does your profit plan. Your profit plan for your book could be an event where when you buy a ticket, you get a book. So if your tickets for your event are $8.97, which is like an industry standard, you are essentially selling a copy of your book for $897.
Wow. These are all things that I never would have thought of.
and that's, again, so to be fair, you know, what I didn't say in my intro, because, you know, I tend to not, is that I do have a master's degree in business. So I get to couple that with my love for publishing and everything that I've learned. This is not me just talking about, the online strategy. This is business.
Yeah.
This is business. A book can be a viable department, money-making department in your brand, regardless of what your branding. You may not be a coach. Maybe you are a speaker. Maybe you are a community builder. Whatever it is, a book can be a viable strategy for having a money-making department that does tremendous things.
And I feel like a book should be a viable department, because it's something that, like, when you're gone and when Facebook dissolves and, like, Instagram, goes away, you're still going to have that. Mm-hmm. You still have a book. Like, we've gone through so many technological changes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I feel like the people need to listen to this podcast and then work with you so that they can do this, because I feel like people write books as kind of like, oh, yeah, maybe I should write a book. But from the way you're describing it, a book, a well-placed, well-marketed, well-thought-out book could actually be like the foundation of your business. And then you the more, and then as you get the process down, then you write more books, because obviously you don't want your readers to stay in the place where you took them with the first one. So now you want to take them on a journey.
Right.
And it's like,
there's
it's like the
evolution.
Book, the
you
book
are absolutely
could be,
right.
Oh my gosh. Tessa, my mind is like going in a, I don't think I'm going to sleep tonight, because my mind is like chugging on so many levels right now. It's crazy. Because again, I know so many people,
yeah.
Like it's just crazy, because again, like everybody's so focused on how do I tweak my Facebook ads and how do I market on Instagram, and you know, YouTube is an underpriced marketing tool, but here we all have these words rambling around in our heads that could be put onto paper, then it kind of makes that those things like you said before, like the icing on the cake, like the grammar and all of that is like the whipped cream on top of the sundae. But if people would follow this business model, then the Facebook ads would be the whipped cream on top of the sundae.
Right. Right. There's so many different ways.
I think you're revolutionizing the world, and people don't even know it yet.
They don't know it yet. But the thing is this. You are walking around with this knowledge, this information. Everybody shies away from the word expert. I'm an expert at being me and surviving to this moment right here. I'm an expert at that. Like, I survived yesterday, and I can tell you how I did it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the thing. People think that, and I think that's why I don't tend to always talk about, you know, having the degrees, because people are like, oh, yeah, that's why. No.
Mm-mm.
I'm not even doing, well, some would say I'm not even doing things that are directly related to my degrees. They support what I'm assigned to do, what I'm on a mission to do.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah,
you know, that's what people, there's so much. Listen, I have clients, one client, she lost her husband at a young age, and now she is doing a practical guide to dealing with grief.
Mm-hmm.
Not based on clinical terms. She's having the conversation in her book like, you know what, sometimes you just don't want to hear they're in a better place. She's having that conversation, that real conversation, right? And I have another client. She was in politics for a number of years, and she recently wrote a book encouraging women of color to run for office and showing them how to do it. There's not a class for that.
No, there's no MBA
class
for
that. There's not a class for
that. Mm-mm.
No. And so at the experience that has happened, I have another client, she did a whole branding book, a book about personal branding and how to do it. And none of the information in there is about some ads or anything like that. It's about knowing who you are as a brand, partnering, becoming, becoming the face of your brand boldly, because a lot of times we get cute logos and we want to hide behind them. She's having that conversation. And let me tell you, she's not just having that conversation with random people who are finding her on LinkedIn. She's speaking at Fortune 500 companies to their sales force.
That's awesome.
And
guess
what?
When
they pay her fee, they buy hundreds of her books.
It's awesome.
That's what I'm talking
about. Seriously. It's like, and it's, for eons, since we could write on paper, like, this has been the model, and we've gotten so far away from it. So it's almost like this is revolutionary, and I'm not diminishing it, but it's almost revolutionary in its simplicity, because it's going back to basics, right?
Yeah.
Like, because the basics of every movement, like, I mean, if you look like Christianity, like the Bible, the Bible is written word. Any religious movement, it's the written word that is the power.
Yeah.
And it's almost like this has been probably the most informative half hour that I've had in a very long time. Like, I wish we could talk for the rest of the day.
Oh, listen, I can do this all day long. But one of the things I really want to leave everyone with is this. For a long time, it was thought that self-publishing meant that you couldn't get published traditionally. And I want to address that, because that's not true. Okay? Publishing companies have for years been the doorkeepers. And it's funny that you mentioned Christianity, because a lot of the books that from years and years and hundreds of years ago, they were metered and they were watched by monks and spiritual communities.
Mm-hmm.
And so that policing, for lack of better terminology, of
mm-hmm.
the words that were released in the world is essentially where publishing companies came up. We've heard the horror stories of slush piles for how long? Ever? Like, forever.
Yeah.
And it was always a fear of mine, I'm going to be in a slush pile, you know. And so I am a living example. I went that route, right? And was told that I had to write a certain way to be successful. I am here to tell you that I would rather make the decisions on my vision for my book and be able to quickly implement than have to run them through some board, through some marketing team and all of that that's not connected to my brand. I recently did a breakdown on one of my social media pages about the myth that you don't pay to publish and that, you know, publishing companies pay you. And I did the math. And so here's what I want people to understand. I'm not going to do the math here, but I am going to throw out some numbers. When you go through a traditional publishing company, you have they have a publishing cycle of 12 to 18 months. So you may sign a contract today, but that does not mean your book will be out next week.
Mm-hmm.
You have to keep that in mind, because if you have done the research for your audience, you know your audience can't afford to wait that long. The message that you have could shift them, ignite them, help them get a breakthrough, help them make the right choice in their business right now. Do you think that they can wait 12 to 18 more months? I don't.
Yeah. No, definitely not.
Right? So those are one set of numbers. The other set of numbers, this. A lot of those contracts that give you $5,000, however much money up front, and you're feeling like you've accomplished some things, a lot of those contracts have something called an exclusivity clause. And that means that your words belong to this company. Not just the words that you have submitted to them in your book, but any ideas, any downloads, they belong to that company. So unless you can wait out the time frame of your contract and not write another book, you got to do it through them, or you at least have to run it by them.
Wow.
So you couldn't even self-publish if you wanted to. For creatives, and most of us, you know, even as entrepreneurs and things like that, we're creative. You get downloads that can help people all the time. Again, can you pigeonhole? Can you risk pigeonholing your vision because of a contract? And then the last number that I want to give you is 10 years. That's usually the amount of time that's written into a contract before your original manuscript reverts back to you and is yours. You have rights to do whatever you want to do with it.
Wow.
So I am not against big publishing companies. What I am against is the idea that they are your savior, and that is the only way that you can pierce a marketplace with your message. There's a lot that you trade off just so that they have an editor for you, just so that they have a designer for you. I have a SWAT team. That's my support, writing, and technical team. They handle that for my clients, and I don't own any of their work.
Wow.
I don't own any of their work. I just happen to have a team that they can run it down the conveyor belt once they do the writing, and they don't have to worry about the rest.
Wow.
That's taking charge of your message and making sure that you're not selling bits and pieces of it off, not realizing it.
Yeah, that's awesome. With everything you're saying, Elizabeth Gilbert wrote a book called Big Magic that it's kind of like, it just kept coming up. And I think I have to go to my local bookstore to purchase it today because it keeps coming up. But it's like the message inside of you is meant to be told now. And it's not meant to be told later. And if you don't tell it, someone else is going to tell it, because the work, the message needs to get out there regardless. So it's like everything you're saying is so important. And it's funny because, as you know, like, this podcast is geared toward people in the entertainment industry primarily. And everyone that I talk to, whether they've acted in their school play when they were three
or they, like, whatever. Everybody like, is hell-bent, for lack of a better word, on getting an agent. And it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing. Like, they own, like, you're not allowed to cut your hair. You're not allowed to do anything. They basically own
mm-hmm.
your body or whatever
yes.
For the term of the contract. And it's the same thing with publishing, because, like, the one thing I always thought, okay, Janine, you have to sit down, you write your book, then you get it to a publisher. And it's, like, it's mind-blowing to me that they would own me, basically, all of my
mm-hmm.
creativity for 10 years or for the length of time. So, Tessa,
mm-hmm.
it's been a really, really, really long time since I've had a conversation with someone on a podcast or not that has blown my mind
mm-hmm.
as much as this time that we've been on this call. But I just want to thank you so much for being willing to share so much, because there are so many people, like you said, like, I'll give you the 3 secrets, and then you have to pay for the actual secrets that actually work. So thank you so much for just being so forthcoming and sharing your superpower with us. And I cannot tell you how much I appreciate it. I literally took 2 pages of notes while I was interviewing you.
Thank you so much
for just sharing. And I would love to do this again another time, and then we could talk about the other things that you do as well. You have such a you have so many things going on that I thank you so much for focusing on the publishing today and the books, but I would love to do this again and maybe talk about your TV show and different things like that, other things that you have going on as well.
Absolutely. All you got to do is ask, and
awesome.
I will make room, especially for you and your audience, I promise.
Perfect. I'll be in contact shortly, but I just want to thank you so much. This has been so informative. Anyone could pretty much listen to this podcast and follow your steps and start
Absolutely.
Getting to work on their creativity. So thank you
Absolutely.
From the bottom of my heart for today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. And I want everyone to just get to writing. You can do it.
I'm going to buy a notebook as soon as I hang up with you. So you're going to hear peeling wheels before I even hit hang up on the call.
Look, I'm going to be messaging you. I'm going to hold you accountable. So just be prepared.
But you know what? I'm giving you permission in front of my audience to please hold me accountable, because this is literally something that I've wanted to do. So I could take you back to the very moment when I decided I wanted to write. So this is
mm-hmm.
so empowering. And I have a whole week of, like, basically quiet time. So guess who's going to go get a notebook
goodness.
And start writing tonight? Yeah.
Oh,
so,
what you could
so
do
thank you
week.
So much.
Yeah.
I know. I'm so excited. So seriously, though, thank you so much for your time. And thank you for being willing to be on the podcast. And please do hold me accountable. I need someone too, so I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Thank you again.
Excellent. You're welcome. Have a great day. Bye. I just want to thank everyone so much for taking the time to listen to this edition of the VIP Ignite Live podcast. I hope that you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did. If you did, please make sure you go to Tessa's website, which is borrowmymba.com, where you can learn how you can work with her. And also, if you are interested in learning how to become an actor, a model, or a musician, and getting more involved in the entertainment industry through making contacts and networking, please go to our website at 30xchallenge.com/discovered, where you can get registered for our next live webinar and learn how to meet with industry professionals if you qualify. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great day.